Take your Bibles, please, and turn to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. We're going to begin there, but we will not end there. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that now, Lord, that you would take this time and use it for your glory. Lord, I ask that you would find hearts in all of us that will do thy will for your glory. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. We have been looking at the theme from salvation by the book to serving by the book. I was prepared to preach a message this morning on continuing that, but it's going to change midstream. Actually, maybe not change so much, but something that I believe that needs to be addressed in our church. So quickly, if we could look at this. In Luke chapter 12, if you would please look at verse 48. The Lord was sharing with his disciples and the people that were there parables about his service, about servants, faithful and unfaithful. And in the midst of that all, he makes a statement that is a principle in serving God, serving by the book. Look at verse 48. But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. There were those that had ample opportunity to serve the Lord and they did not. He's giving a parable about a man that had servants. So there were those that were beaten with many stripes, but then there were those beaten with few stripes. Now, that doesn't mean we get to heaven and the Lord beats us if we didn't work for Him. But there is a principle here. And I want you to see this. Look at the next phrase, please. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. Now, there's more that I want to get into. I'm not going to linger on this much. But I want us to understand something. We have been given much. Can I get an amen on that? There have been few people that have enjoyed freedom like Americans have. There are people in this church that not only have, like myself, not only have multiple Bibles, we have Bible study books, and in fact, we've got it on our computers as well. There is so much that has been given us. But that's not the only thing that the Lord is speaking about here. If you go through the parable here, you find three things. The servants are waiting, watching, and working. Our Lord is coming. We are going to stand before Him someday. It is my responsibility, by God's grace, to be used of God to get us all to understand that one day we're going to stand before Him. And woe to the person who takes that lightly, as we will see. We need to get this straight, though. If we go through life and we have the attitude that, you know, I've got my ticket to heaven and that's all I need, and I'm going to give a big I'm sorry to the Heavenly Father when I stand before Him, you're not reading your Bible. You're not listening to your Bible if you're reading it. There is something that took place when you and I got saved. When we trusted Christ, we were given new life. Amen. We were given eternal life. We were made new creatures in Christ. But we were made new creatures for a reason. Our Lord, all through the Gospels, is seeking to get us to see something. He looks out over people and he says, listen, you know, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he'll send forth laborers. God does not send forth laborers from government. He sends his people. He sends born again bought by the blood. He sends born again bought by the blood of the Lamb people. People that understand what they now have. And they have been given gifts. They have been given abilities. They have been given authority to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. They have been given authority to glorify Him. They have been given authority to be a difference in the world, to be salt and light. Turn, if you would, to 1 Corinthians 3. You see, Luke 12 tells us this present requirement. But now we see a future reward for those that have ears to hear. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Look at verse 13. Every man's work shall be made manifest. What does that word manifest mean? Everybody's going to see it. Everybody. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day, that day before the Lord at the bema seat of Christ shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. You see, our sins are taken care of. Amen? I am so glad. But our works for Him have not. They haven't been let go. We're going to stand before Him, and it's going to be seen before all. Here's my gold, silver, precious stone. Here's my wood, hay, and stubble. However, if any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. John reminds us in 2 John 8, look to yourselves that we lose not the things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. You stop and you consider this. There is going to be one body in heaven. Now, I might be wrong about this, but I don't think so. There's going to be one body in heaven that's not going to be perfect. It's going to be Jesus' body. Because when we see His hands, I believe the nail prints are still going to be there. We are going to stand before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the one who suffered so for our sin. Not the person sitting next to you. Your sin, my sin. And what did He require of us? To do justly, to love mercy, to serve Him. Now, however He has gifted you and whatever He has asked of you, you know that. You can search that out. But the point is this. We are all going to give account. And that is something that we need to ask ourselves constantly. We need to remind ourselves. I want to ask you this. What is it that drives you in your decisions and your desires? Now listen. What is it that drives you in your decisions and in your desires in your life? Is it your past or your future? You see, if it's your past, this is what you can think. Well, you know, I've done okay so far. And I decided a long time ago, you know, I'm gonna enjoy living my life. Or is it the future, where we stand before God? There's a present requirement. Go ye. There's a future reward. We've got to ask ourselves, what is it that is driving us? Now, we're going to be looking at something in just a moment that might help in that situation. We don't realize, especially in America, the freedom that we have. Still, we've got freedom. We have wealth. We have God's Word. And then we don't also realize what we're in jeopardy of losing. And there's a lot that can be listed there. Sadly, we don't stop and think of what our God has called us to and equipped us for. In light of that, I want to take us to a sobering responsibility. I'd like for you to go to 1 John chapter 1. I was so taken by this that I thought, you know, I've got to say something. I've got to say something. As some of you know, on Friday morning, the last Friday of the month, we started having several pastors come, and we started praying for revival. This last Friday, three of the pastors let us know that they couldn't come. They couldn't come. Which left three of us. There were others that we had also contacted. They weren't able to make it. But three, in fact, two, I mean, within just a half hour of us getting together, they texted Tim and said, sorry, just can't come, just can't make it. Now, at first, at the very first, and just for a little while, the very first, that was kind of disheartening. You know, I mean, we need revival in Sacramento. We need revival in California. We need revival in America. But then we found out this. It was a God moment that we didn't realize. Because the three that were here was myself, Tim, and Dave Welch, who was saved here. We stayed together. We talked and prayed for 2 hours. And it was absolutely tremendous. I mean, it was one of those God moments. It was so powerful toward the end, we knew exactly why we were there. One of the things that we did was this. Tim said, you know what? He said, I remember when I was in high school, there was an evangelist, and the evangelist's name was Dave Jaspers. He says, when I was an evangelist, preacher, you had an evangelist come, and this evangelist said this. He said, one day, I sat down, and he says, I started writing out my sins. Now, this is an evangelist. He said, I started writing out my sins. I filled up the first page. Then he says, I turned it over. I filled up the second page. Then I got me another piece of paper. I filled up the third page. Three pages back and front. What does 1 John 1:9 say? Look at it. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. How many of you rejoice in that verse? Amen? Amen. I want to take you to the first three words. If we confess. Now, this verse is written to God's people. This is not written to the world. This is written to God's people. I want you to just take note of this. Do you realize that we sin? There's not a person in here. 1 John 1 tells us there's not a person in here that doesn't sin. The question is, what do we do with our sin? And maybe we haven't been treating our sin like we should. And so you know what winds up happening? The present requirement and the future reward doesn't mean all that much. In fact, it just kind of bounces off the ears. We read our Bible, but what the Lord Jesus, what the Holy Spirit, what God the Father is really trying to say to us just doesn't sink that much, because we get the idea that, well, yeah, you know, I'm doing okay, and we don't recognize this. We've got a soil in our heart. We can have the stony soil. We can have the weeds, as it were, that's coming up and choking the word and all this. And we think, you know, hey, we're okay. I'm not going to hell. Wait a minute. Let's just back the truck up. I'm not saying that if you don't confess your sin, you go to hell. But hold on. There's something that we need to understand here. We've been talking about this, in fact, in Romans chapter 7, and we'll continue it tonight at 6 o'clock. You know, we're told in Matthew 6, remember when the Lord taught us the Lord's, what's commonly called the Lord's Prayer, but really it's the disciples' prayer. In Matthew 6, 7, the Lord says, "But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking." Now see, we wind up taking that to a religion that just repeats things over and over again. It's, you know, that's their problem. But how many times have we prayed, "Lord, I pray that you just guide me, forgive me for my sins. Lord, help me to have a good day. Thank you, Lord. Amen." And it's something that we wind up praying. It becomes rote. Now, as far as we're concerned, we're not like those other people. Folks, we might have a bigger problem than we think. Yesterday, Friday morning, the three of us decided to do this. We went to different corners of this auditorium and we started praying. Let me tell you something. When you ask God to start showing you your sin, He'll show you your sin. And I'm talking specific sin. See, what we want to do is we want to just do this blanket thing. Lord, you know, forgive me of my sins. But if you don't know what your sins are, or you are resisting knowing, not only the sins of commission, but the sins of omission, if you are not acknowledging those before God, you're going to continue, you will not have the power, and you're going to be looking around going, I just don't understand what's wrong. I don't get it. I mean, I asked God to help me on this and that. Hey, you know, maybe the Lord has been trying to direct our thoughts elsewhere. Now, I challenge you to listen. I dare you to listen. Because truly, if we do not look at specific things, why is it, folks, that we wind up seeing sin in our lives become something that we're used to, or we can excuse? And again, not just the sins of commission, but the sins of omission. And what do we wind up having? People that don't understand the present requirement or the joy of the future reward, because we haven't truly seen cleansing. A man by the name of Gabeline said this: whenever the principle of sin is denied as an ongoing reality, there follows a denial of responsibility for individual actions. Let me say that again. Whenever the principle of sin is denied as an ongoing reality, there follows a denial of responsibility for individual actions. The result is that all or most of our sins become non-sins. All or most of our sins become non-sins. And we wind up deceiving ourselves. Look at the first word. We. If we. I saw nothing of it. But I'm telling you, what went on in Washington this last week was an absolute fiasco. I am so fed up. We watched, or we saw pictures of whoremongers and adulterers and drunkards sitting in judgment on a man and purposely seeking to destroy him and his family. And God help this nation. But let me tell you something. The problem is not with them. If they don't have Christ, what are they going to do? What else will they know? It was wretched. This land is heading for judgment. We have what they're trying to do is they are trying to guarantee that they can still butcher unborn children. They can still make a sham out of marriage. They can still continue in the sin no matter how it is that they want, and be sure their sin will find them out. But hey, listen, be sure our sin will find us out. Before we stand in judgment of their sin, we need to sit ourselves down and say, Lord, show me mine. I challenge you to do that. We sat here, the three of us, and let me tell you something. My list still isn't done. And you get to talk, you get to going through your own heart and you see what you've done and where your thoughts have gone. And it's not, again, it's not just the sins of commission. It's omission. It's how you have disobeyed God here and here and here and here. How many of us have loved the Lord with all our heart, soul, and mind? Well, yeah, but you know, I mean, God knows. No, God, that's a commandment. We're walking daily and we're not obeying that. But see, we've gotten so used to it, if somebody brings it up, it's like, well, but that just can't be. Yes, it can be. Hey, love our neighbor as ourself. And then you just work from there. We're talking lust. We're talking greed. We're talking covetousness. We're talking lying. We're talking pride. And then we're talking more pride. And we're talking self-will. And some of you have already shut me off. And we want God to bless. If we confess, look at that word confess. The word confess is made up of two words. From the word hamas, which means the same, and then lego, to say, thus to say the same thing as another or to agree with another. Confession of sin means to say the same thing that God does about sin. It means to agree with God as to all the implication of that sin as it relates to the Christian who commits it, and to a holy God against whom it is committed. Now sadly, there's way too many pulpits that won't preach this today. We want to feel good. Hey, you know something? You know what's a joy? We can go out of here this morning feeling better than good. We can feel joyful if we'll go to the Lord and say, Lord, search me. Because God, I want to do what's right. And we can. But our problem is we don't want God to reach that deep. Because we don't want to give ourselves to the present requirement and the future reward just isn't all that important to us. I just want my ticket to heaven. And meanwhile, people are dying and going to hell. What if I took one of these boxes? I says, you know what? It just doesn't matter much, does it, Chad? And suppose I took it and I pitched it right in the middle of the floor. What would you do? How dare you do that? I mean, there was a lot of work. Yeah, there was. But that's meant for people, you know, over in Korea. Yeah, it is. What are we? You know, stop and think about it. We're a living sacrifice. We're called of God to spread this. Listen, this is what sin does to us, folks. Ephesians 4:30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. It grieves God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. Excuse me, sealed unto the day of redemption. Listen to what it does to the Lord. 1 Corinthians 6:19, what know ye not? That your body, my body, is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. For ye are bought with a what? My pink slip doesn't say Mike Rogers. I was bought by Christ. For you're bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. 1 Peter 3:12, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Can a Christian do evil? That grieves God. Paul, when it came to his own life, he said in 1 Corinthians 9:27, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest it by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. I don't want to hinder God in my life. Do you want to hinder Him in your life? I don't want to be somebody where, you know, He just says, I'm sorry. It steals the joy of our salvation. David wrote in Psalm 51, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. He wasn't happy in God. And yet the Lord said of him that he was a man after God's own heart. But the joy just wasn't there. Can I ask you something? Where's your joy? What happened to it? Sin prohibits good things from us. Jeremiah 5:25, your iniquities have turned away these things, and your sins have withholden good things from you. That's not me saying that. That's the Bible. We've been talking about the carnal man and the spiritual man, Romans 7 on Sunday night. Hey, listen to this. 1 Corinthians 3:1, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. Sin invites God's discipline. Hebrews 12:6-7, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? You know, if you can sin and God does nothing, may I make a recommendation? Check your salvation. But if he does chasten, stop and think. Now, wait a minute. How many of you, your mommy and your daddy spanked you when you were growing up? It really warped us all, didn't it? I mean, look at us. We're just crazy, weird. No, we're not. I praise God for that kind of love. I also praise God for the love that we have in Christ that disciplines us. Sin prevents us from being a fit vessel for the Lord to use. 2 Timothy 2:21. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. I'm gonna cut this kind of short here because we need to get to this. In fact, I'm just going to stop with the notes now. I'm just going to stop. Does everybody, come on, we're family. Does everybody understand why I'm preaching this? Are we here? Because I don't want to see what sin can do to your life, Dave. And I know you wouldn't want to see what it can do to mine. And I'm telling you, you start writing down specifics. See, that's what the Lord is dealing with there. I skipped it. But that's what the Lord is dealing with there. When we're talking about confession of sin, it's not just blanket. David came and confessed his sin before God because a man by the name of Nathan said, "Thou art the man." Wow. You know, I encourage you. I challenge you. And then come back tonight at 6 o'clock because you're going to realize how you can have victory over, like I said, Romans 7, that most intimate of battlegrounds. But folks, we've got to tackle this thing of sin head on. It's not just blanket sin, it's sins. Is there an attitude that you had to somebody yesterday? Is that was there something that you know you should have done, but you didn't do for the Lord? Have you been faithful to the Lord in what He's called you to? Now, this is what happens. Well, preacher, have you? Hey, listen, I got a good idea. Rather than throwing accusations back and forth at each other, why don't we all gather at the throne of grace and say, "Lord, You search us and You show us." Sounds like a good idea, doesn't it? Now, I want to get you up here. John, our friend, is with the Lord right now. We had just gotten home. We had just gotten home from vacation. Had one day left. My wife says, "I got to go into the church and do some stuff." I said, "Fine, I'm staying home. I got one more day of vacation. I'm staying home." I get a phone call from her. "There's a guy here. He insists he has to talk to you." "Well, honey, can you tell him that No, he's here. He insists he has got to talk to you." Okay. So I get dressed. I come over here. It's John. He had been here at the church years before. He wanted to get right with God. And I'm thinking, John, couldn't it have waited? You know, he came to church, and you remember Tim Schmidt and Dave Welch both talked about how he would sit here right here. Dave, he would sit right here. Brian, excuse me, he would sit right here. And when somebody was preaching, he was taking notes like crazy. And Dave Welch was sitting over there and watching him. Tim would watch him. He was one of our ushers, wasn't he? Yeah, he was one of our ushers. Hey, he wanted to serve the Lord. His time is done. Can't understand it, don't understand it, don't have to. God is in control. But what if it had been one of us? And one day it will be. And we're going to stand before Him. That's it. You know, I get to thinking about this with everything that's going on. You know, by God's grace, can we, remember we talked about getting clean? I didn't realize how deep that needed to go. I mean, we had the most wonderful time Friday morning. And we agreed at the end of it all, this was a God moment. I'm not kidding. It was a God moment. We had prayer. It was precious. It was great. Man, it was good. Because we were dealing with our sins. Hey, Faith Baptist, you want God's blessing? Let's dare to take care of our sins. Not the politicians' sins. Not the entertainer's sins. Let's deal with us. Let's find out what God calls sin and let's confess it. Say the same thing. see it as God sees it. Amen? And then we're just, you know what? Confess it, Lord, I don't want to do that again. I don't want to do it again. A few weeks ago, there was a television program that my wife and I had watched, and we enjoyed it. And decided, you know, we just can't watch it anymore. We just can't do it. Even with VidAngel. Just can't. So left it. Something. Hey, let God take care of it. Just can't. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you'd help us to just get as serious as we absolute positively must with our sin. Lord, I fear because there could very well be people, and they could. There could very well be people in this building right now that are saying, Lord, I'll go so far with you, but no farther. Lord, we need to go all the way. We need to allow you to go all the way. We need to allow you to tell us about our sin. And we need to have the courage to say, Lord, I'll confess it. I forsake it. I will not go back to it. Cleanse my heart. Lord, I pray that this church would be a group of people. And Lord, we know the wicked one hates this kind of preaching, but that's just the way it is. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to do right, to be right in our thought life, in our actions, in our attitudes towards you, towards each other. Lord, I pray that you would cleanse us. And Lord, may we know the victory that is in Christ as we will see tonight. We pray in his name. And all God's people said,
Amen. Amen.